Brain health has been very popular in the news lately, and this podcast is for you if you've ever had brain fog, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, CTE, any of these issues. This is the podcast where we're going to jump into the latest research from Dr. Dale Bredesen, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dave Asprey of the Bulletproof Diet, so many other people, all the minds that are really out there paving the way, blazing a path for new research, new strategies that are actually working to get your brain optimized and working at its highest level. The Brain Builders Podcast is just for you. So get a notebook, get a pen, and get ready to open up your mind and get back to the person that you were meant to be. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John DeWitt, and today we're going to jump back into ketosis. What is this ketosis thing? So, as I mentioned before, we're going in, this is from Dave Asprey's book, Headstrong, the Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster in Just 2 Weeks. So, it seems that ketosis is meant to protect us from all sorts of threats. If it weren't for ketosis, we would starve in times of scarcity because our mitochondria would not be able to produce ATP from our fat. Since we've only had access to food at any time of day for the last few hundred years or so, it's pretty obvious that ketones have allowed us to survive this long as a species. When food was less abundant, ketones provided resilience against hypoglycemia and ultimately starvation. What makes ketosis so efficient? As you may recall, the first step to creating energy is to get fuel inside your mitochondria. Unlike glucose, ketone bodies can get into the mitochondria completely and intact. They are then broken down directly into acetyl-CoA, which enters the Krebs cycle. Glucose, on the other hand, must first get broken down outside the mitochondria into pyruvate. Then pyruvate is broken down into acetyl-CoA inside the mitochondria. Long story short, ketones are able to skip a step before they even get to work creating energy. They're skipping a step so it happens faster. This increase of acetyl-CoA from ketones also drives the Krebs cycle to charge up more NADH, which is the molecule that provides energy to the electron transport system. Simple version, ketosis makes your body's process of releasing and recycling energy go faster. This uses up less oxygen than burning glucose and creates less oxidative stress in the process. Because ketone bodies are more energy-rich than pyruvate, they produce more ATP, while 100 grams of glucose generates 8.7 kilograms of ATP. 100 grams of ketone bodies can yield 10.5 kilograms of ATP. That's over 20% more. Interesting. So remember, most of your cells have several hundred mitochondria each. The cells in your brain each have thousands. So an increase in energy production by even as little as a couple of kilograms of ATP is huge. It can be the difference between just slogging by and feeling like you're on fire in a good way. Dave Asprey says that he recently had the great pleasure of interviewing Dr. Richard Veach, a renowned ketone expert who studied with Hans Krebs, the very man who discovered and named the Krebs cycle. Hans Krebs. Dr. Veach explained that humans are the only animals that go into ketosis when we fast because we have such large brains to support. Ketosis protects our big brains from oxidative stress and allows us to survive. Without ketones, we would die in 6 days without food. But with them, we can survive much longer. Before we had McDonald's on every corner, we fasted in between periods of hunting and killing animals, and during those times, we thrived in a state of ketosis. Let's see. Dave Asprey knows that being in ketosis makes a huge impact on his energy level, but he was never able to put on an exact number on just how much more energized he felt in this state. In their interview, Dr. Veach told him that the heart gets 28% more energy when it is metabolizing ketone bodies compared to glucose, since the brain and the heart have roughly the same density of mitochondria. ketones' impact on the brain is just as dramatic. This number blew Dave Asprey away. Can you imagine what it would be like to have 28% more brain energy? Can't emphasize enough how important this is. In his 20 years of seeking new ways to improve his performance, he hasn't found anything more impactful than ketones. He's found things that move the needle 5% or 10%, but nowhere near the 28% of ketones. Think of it this way. If ATP provides the energy for you to be you, being in ketosis allows you to be 28% more you. The only question is, what will you use all that extra brain power to accomplish? Over time, your body gets more and more efficient at running on ketones. When you do, you become what's known as keto-adapted. Being keto-adapted has its benefits. Your body becomes more efficient at breaking down fats and burning them for energy. You also experience powerful detoxification effects. Fair warning, this might not feel so good in the beginning. In fact, the first time you go into ketosis, you're going to get the worst breath ever. This is because your body stores a lot of toxins in fat. When you start burning that fat to create energy, your liver must process the toxins that are released. For a few days, you might feel tired and foggy, unless you take toxin binders such as activated coconut charcoal. Otherwise, as your liver processes all the toxins that have been released from your fat, it pulls energy away from your brain. This adjustment period is short and more than worth it to experience what follows. Once your system is running clean, a new level of energy and performance will replace your bad breath, fatigue, and brain fog. Heard people say that they felt truly alive for the first time after experiencing ketosis. And I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. Of course, nothing is perfect, not even ketosis. He's found that anytime you get your body into a certain state and try to hold it there forever, it starts to resist. The two most common ways of getting into ketosis are to almost entirely restrict carbs or fats completely. If you maintain a ketogenic, extremely low-carb diet for months on end, your cortisol levels may rise and start tearing up muscle mass to get glucose for your brain. Even when fasting, your blood glucose levels will never go to zero because your body will keep increasing cortisol production. Cortisol makes cells insulin resistant, so they cannot synthesize glucose. This causes blood glucose levels to remain high, awakens your inner Labrador, and leads to major cravings. This explains why many people, but not all, start to feel lousy after several months in continuous, uninterrupted ketosis. It was certainly the case for Dave Asprey. When he was fat, he lost 50 pounds on an Atkins-type diet and felt amazing, until suddenly he didn't feel amazing anymore. Besides cravings, one of the first symptoms of cutting too many carbs for too long is having very dry eyes. Being this low in carbs without a break can also ruin your quality of sleep. Eating no carbs for extended periods can also damage your thyroid, which is a big problem since you need thyroid hormones to make ATP and maintain healthy myelin. That said, some people seem to thrive in continuous ketosis, though they are in the minority. He also learned that while neurons prefer ketones as an energy source, other cells in the body, such as the ones that repair and maintain myelin, actually prefer glucose. Your body is like a hybrid car that runs most efficiently when it has the option of alternating between fuel sources. This inspired him to find a way to hack ketosis. How could I enjoy the extra energy it gave my brain without depriving my other cells of glucose and without experiencing the negative side effects? What he found was that there are ways to experience mild ketosis without fully restricting carbohydrates. In the 1980s, researchers at Harvard Medical School discovered how to produce medium-chain triglycerides in large quantities and use them for therapeutic purposes. Although the high doses required to raise ketones often led to a very unpleasant gastrointestinal state that I affectionately call disaster pants, they learned that because some MCTs are water-soluble, they go directly to the liver, and your liver metabolizes them on the spot. To do so, it wipes out your storage of glycogen. This puts you in a state of ketosis very quickly, even if some carbohydrates are present. This was a game-changing discovery for Dave Asprey, which led him to start to use MCT oils despite the gastric problems. And he realized very quickly that it was worth a few extra trips to the bathroom to feel this good. Later, he developed his own brain octane oil, which, according to a study from the University of California, San Diego, works significantly better than MCT oil to raise ketones in the blood. And brain octane oil actually is something that I personally take, which I like every day. Brain octane oil is designed to amplify ketosis and give you the best of both worlds. When your blood concentration of ketones is 0.8 millimolar, you are considered to be in a state of nutritional ketosis. But I've found research that says that having even a small amount of ketones in your bloodstream, a mere 0.5 millimolar, is enough to shift two hormones that control hunger and fulfillment. I can reliably reach this level of myoketosis with brain octane oil even when eating some carbs. All of a sudden, my cravings disappear and my focus and concentration go way up. And disaster pants is much less of an issue. There's a well-known way to reach a state of ketosis without brain octane oil. The trick is that you have to reduce your carbs to about 20 grams per day and eat 70 to 85% of your calories from fat. At that level, you will have to cut veggies and their valuable polyphenols, and over time you have to be careful to avoid nutrient deficiencies. With brain octane oil, you have a buffer, and you can get the best of both worlds. You can eat some carbs every day, but still have some ketones in your blood. Fasting for a fast-acting brain. Of course, restricting carbs and consuming brain octane oil aren't the only ways to get into ketosis. There's also good old-fashioned fasting. Fasting has some additional benefits beyond putting you into a ketogenic state. Fasting improves myelination and myelination regeneration in the brain and helps reduce inflammation throughout the body. Fasting also switches on your cellular detox system, autophaging. When this happens, you eliminate cellular waste. It is the equivalent of a deep cleaning for your brain, and it feels amazing. But nothing is perfect. Fasting has some drawbacks, like making you really pissed off. That's because when you stop eating, the brain thinks it's dying. So all of your most primitive emotions, rage, anger, and sadness, rise to the surface. This is not fun for anyone, especially your coworkers and family. We are going to dive into more about ketosis and its negative effects next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Brain Builders Podcast. I am your host, Dr. John DeWitt. I hope you have a phenomenal day. Talk to you next time.